Hey, great day, Grace with Let's Chat. We are so excited we have Randy Hollinsworth today, who's one of my funnest investors. He has a really cool strategy of short-term rental. And I'm going to kind of let him tell you a little bit about it. But when I first met Randy, he was selling some property over what I call the bleachers of North Chat. And he was doing that to do his next projects, where he has this idea of every 600 miles from Chattanooga, he works on creating a short-term rental so he can travel there, and it's part of his vacation traveling and his portfolio of investing. So how did you get started with that idea to begin with, Randy?
Hey, Grace. I guess that part of my business started when a buddy of mine from Nashville called me and asked me if I was interested in going in with him on Billy the Kid's Bunkhouse.
Oh, what a fun idea.
Right. So I was like, piqued interest. I love Western history. And he's a good friend of mine. And we just decided, well, yeah, let's look into that. So we road trip to Fort Sumner. This was during the first of COVID. And luckily, real estate is prioritized. You can do business in real estate during COVID. Mm-hmm. So we got in the car and traveled out there and checked out this little place. And I had thought originally that it might have been, you know, super historical with Billy the Kid actually, you know, being in the house. But it turned out it's on Highway 60 across the street from the Billy the Kid Museum.
Oh, well, that's still good.
It's close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
Right. And we met the museum curators and owners, and they were super nice. And Billy the Kid was killed in Fort Sumner by Pat Garrett back mm-hmm. in 1870s, I think. He was
somewhere
only
22
there. Years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he was young.
Yeah. And Fort Sumner is kind of hangs his hat on Billy the Kid mm-hmm. history there.
Yeah.
It's a little town, not a single traffic light there, but that was the first one. And it happened to be 1,200 miles away.
Okay.
And so that was the reason I was kind of like, well, if I'm going to have something in Fort Sumner, New Mexico, I want a stepping stone to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Fort Smith was kind of becoming in my radar. It's in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And several years later, it actually was one of the later properties I bought, but it's actually Paris, Arkansas that I bought, which is about 30 miles east of Fort Smith.
Okay.
So that's how it all started, and it just keeps rolling from there. I'm interested.
So you're in New Orleans?
I have a sailboat in New Orleans.
Right. Okay.
So that kind of is my little floating motel there. And yeah, I cannot Airbnb that one. I kind of let friends, you know, go
right.
and take me up on, you know, staying there
mm-hmm.
because the marina there is pretty tight about, you know, who comes and goes there, which is good for the boat owners.
Right. Well, right. That makes sense.
Yep.
So are you Airbnb-ing them or short-term rentaling them or long-term rentaling them? Or you have different strategies based on the location?
It kind of is like that, based on the location, the strategy. I bought Kingman, Arizona after Fort Sumner, mm-hmm. actually just days after Fort Sumner. And that was 600 miles west on I-40 from Fort Sumner that put me in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, wow.
And I was just real interested in different ecosystems, mm-hmm. different cultures, different areas to explore and to, you know, provide my family for places to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And Kingman just checked a lot of boxes there, and I found a nice little house that I was able to renovate, and I've rented it out, and I have a couple there that are renting it long-term right now. Started mm-hmm. off short-term, and then it just evolved into a long-term because mm-hmm. the people loved it and wanted to stay there.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're really good at finding really good deals. I mean, my grandfather told me the only time you make your money is when you buy, and I think you've really focused on that because you've been able to buy some pretty reasonable properties, but you've had to do a lot of work with them.
Right.
And so you're really talented. The one that you're currently doing in Trenton, I mean, I just drove by and I couldn't believe it. It was a shack before.
Mm-hmm. They called it the gopher hole.
Yeah. I mean, it literally was a shack, and it doesn't look like a shack at all anymore.
No. We had to totally redo that one. That, most of the time, I'm able to work with the bones of a house and rebuild it, but we had to go all the way down to the footers on that one because the further we got, the worse it got. So we ended up having to pour new concrete and build up from the ground. But luckily, I was able to keep it as a renovation and build under, you know, the space that was given, because a new construction there would have been almost impossible because of the lot size of that property.
Exactly, yeah.
So we were able to work that out and build a really beautiful little home there.
Are you started to rent it out yet?
Uh-huh. We've had three renters.
That's great. So what are you getting on a month, on a nightly basis for it?
I think it's $135, $150.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really good. It's close to the flight park.
It is.
But, I mean, I really loved how you built around a tree the deck.
Right.
So that was pretty creative.
Thanks. It was inspiring. We had a group of hackberry trees right behind the house, and most of the time, I'm kind of cussing hackberry trees because they're just not too pretty and not too useful, and they've got these berries that drop everywhere. And but I was thinking, man, you know, it's so close to the house. What if I just built a little walkway out into the trees? And I started just studying that possibility. And the more I studied it, the more I liked it. And I just decided I was going to at least nail some boards up into the trees and just see what it looked like.
Right.
And it looked great, and I went for it, and we've got a kind of a treehouse deck, you might call
it. It's really cool. I mean, I was like, wow, how creative. Mm-hmm. That was really creative.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you did a great job on that. So you've been around Chattanooga for how many years investing?
Well, I came in 87, and I bought a fixer-upper in North Chattanooga and ended up buying the house. Well, I rented a house in North Chattanooga, and then I bought the house next door, and it was near Normal Park School on Dugdale Street, and it started there. I was not in real estate full-time then, but my passion, I think I found, was in real estate.
You're really good at it. You're very good at finding a really good deal and creating something that wasn't there before.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're really, really good at that. So what's your next big goal?
Well, maintenance of what I've got currently. Because a lot of my properties are fixer-uppers, kind of bottom of the barrel as far as purchase prices and stuff, I've got to constantly kind of keep an eye on different properties and make sure they're up to snuff, you know, and in good shape. So but my property now that I'm working on mostly is in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. That's 600 miles northeast, and I've got a little house kind of on a dead end, and it's got some treehouse potential too.
Really?
It's a neat little dead end street house, and Berkeley Springs was one of the first tourist attraction hot springs in the country back in the day. George Washington went there. He surveyed the area before he became president. In his early career, he was in land surveying. And he's got a history in that area. And the town has evolved into a cool little artist colony there. And it's not too far from D.C., Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's just up down the road from Delaware. It's not far from Pittsburgh. It's a whole nother shtick up there.
Oh, wow.
So it's neat.
So was that the 1031 exchange you did for selling some property here?
That was one of them. And then above that, the first one I bought was actually in New Hampshire, which was 1,200 miles away.
Okay.
So to do the stepping stone of 600 miles from Lisbon, New Hampshire, it was turned out to be Berkeley Springs. I was looking at Winchester, Virginia, too, but the property there, I kind of find that, you know, Chattanooga, I stopped buying in Chattanooga just because the properties got too expensive for me. But some of that's changing a little bit now, but I'm always looking for a bargain market, and Winchester was a little out of my price range, so I went to Berkeley Springs.
Okay.
Yep.
So that was your first 1031 exchange, right?
It was, yep.
So, tell me how your experience was. What did you think about it? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would. I haven't been to my accountant yet this year, so I'm hoping I continue to say, yeah, I would. time will tell, but I think according to everything that I've heard, it was a really easy process. And the fun part of my job a lot of times is purchasing. I love going out and exploring and looking at new territories and trying to figure out what the funnest or best real estate areas that I can buy in. Uh-huh. So that was neat. And you were very helpful hooking me up with a 1031 professional. Uh-huh. And it all worked very well. They were very helpful and very kind and guided me right through it.
And efficient. I mean, and they're great communicators. But, a lot of people are kind of nervous about doing a 1031 exchange. And you'd been in real estate for a long time. And this is the first time you did it. Mm-hmm. But yet, doing a 1031 exchange can really be, a great way to expand and yet not have the tax consequences that you would have had.
Right.
So you were able to buy two properties, five properties with that one sale.
It was two houses that I sold in a group.
Right.
And I sold it and I wound up buying five.
That's pretty amazing. Think about that.
Right. Well, come with me to look at a couple of them.
Okay.
And you might say, oh, no.
Randy, what are you doing?
Right. But I'm proud of what I did. It was kind of in the height of real estate, too. I almost wanted to, I wish I had a little more time on the time constraints that you're tied to with a 1031.
Yeah.
So, because I knew the market was going to become a little bit more buyer friendly, and it has somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But I got some properties that I kind of been eyeballing for a while.
Yeah, it's a very 1031 exchange is very fascinating because you want to start looking early, but you don't want to start looking too early because you can't really execute until you have yours under contract, and you had a complicated property. Mm-hmm. But we were able to work through it and made the timing work. But it can become challenging from the standpoint. So you were able to, did you start to identify these properties before we closed?
I'm always identifying properties, whether I'm about to sell something or not. It's just in my DNA. I just love exploring and looking at different markets. But yeah, I became a little more high focused when I knew that I was going to sell my property. I identified one near the Smoky Mountains that was a 5-acre tract with mm-hmm. waterfalls on both ends of the property and about a 4,500 elevation
mm-hmm.
Near the Cataloochee, near Waynesville and Maggie Valley. That area had been on my radar for a while. And then Berkeley Springs popped up, and New Hampshire was just something I wound up buying just off the internet. And I found a real good realtor up there, Jane from Maine.
Jane from Maine, that's a great name.
Yeah. She was awesome in helping me with, it turned out to be a 15-acre tract right across the street from the Ammonoosuc River in Lisbon, New Hampshire.
Wow.
Beautiful property, beautiful. And buildable, and a neat little town of Lisbon, which is near an even really cool town called Littleton,
uh-huh.
New Hampshire. And so that was actually my first purchase of my 1031.
Okay. So if you knew when you were 25 what you know now, what would you have done differently in real estate?
Well, I'd have probably not sold as many things and kept. I've got a buddy in Nashville who says, never sell a real estate property because you're just going to make money on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I would have I definitely would have bought more in North Chattanooga in Riverview. Because when I came in 87, it was still, you know, kind of a don't go there kind of place. Tremont right. Street was real negative. And I would have tried to have somehow found some investment help. I'm still kind of weak in that area of actually, you know, getting the funds to be able to purchase stuff. So I'm pretty much on my own selling in order to generate money to be able to buy. So I probably would have studied that a little more and found out how more investment strategies of how to buy back in the day in North Chattanooga and, you know, what's happened there.
Right.
But I came in on the tail end of that and was able to buy stuff on the other side of Market Street, which was still looked at negatively.
The bleachers.
And, right, the bleachers. So I got in there at a good time, and I'm grateful for that.
So words of wisdom to young investors.
Well, I would say, you know, construction knowledge is very important. I'm fortunate that I have thank my dad for helping me learn some construction knowledge when I was a kid and able to build different things. And so I knew a little bit more about houses than maybe the average person would when you go in to study a piece of real estate. So, you know, getting some kind of construction knowledge is helpful. And I guess, you know, just having a explorative nature is helpful, because the more you understand and explore different neighborhoods and areas, the more you understand the market. And that, you know, and not being too scared to jump in and try something too, because some of the properties I bought are ones that everybody else was scared of, and I was able to come in and be able to work with them and right. fix them up and get beyond the negatives and make them profitable. Make them positive.
Well, I think that's a big area. When we moved here, our first flip was on Spears Boulevard, and everybody was like, you guys are nuts. And so, you know, I had no preconceived ideas about anything in Chattanooga. I was open to everything. I wasn't thinking that I couldn't do it here or I couldn't do it there. And so because I had no preconceived ideas, I did a lot of exploring, and I, you know, took some gutsy, you know, ideas to the next level, because I saw it and I was like, that's going to be a great area. But people are like, are you nuts? Like, there's no way you can do a flip on Spears. This was 14 years ago. I said, yeah, I can. And we did. But, you know, I think that's, people get, you know, in their head about an idea about an area, and they get stuck, you know, and they can't see the future. And so I really feel that being a really good explorer is a very good point. So it's been great talking to you today. As always, I always love to know, where are you going next, Randy? Where are you going next?
I like Wyoming.
Oh, I love Wyoming. It's a great area. Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got the East Coast taken care of, and I'm all the way to the West Coast on I-40. So I don't know, Chicago area, or maybe Wyoming, or Washington State, Reno, Nevada. Not sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I'll be excited to hear the next big journey.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Grace.